Right now, even as we are being asked to stay apart, we need each other's cooperation more than ever. But when disasters hit, from pandemics to hurricanes, can we expect people to step up and do their part? That is the big question our next Points of View Roundtable works to address and to tackle it. Let's bring in two people who have thought about cooperation a lot. Athena Aktipis is an assistant professor of psychology in the ASU Department of Psychology who studies cooperation and cheating and co-directs the Human Generosity Project. And Dr. Joe Alcock is an emergency physician at the University of New Mexico Hospital, who has been deployed on the New Mexico Disaster Medical Assistance Team. Here is our conversation.
At least in my own workplace at the University of New Mexico, I've been really heartened to see how our group has stepped up. We basically have a brand new emergency department to take care of people with respiratory complaints. Mm-hmm. And we had people volunteer to staff this 24 hours a day for 2 months. So we had in our group people just signing up for these shifts, and we almost immediately filled up 2 months worth of shifts, overnight shifts and day shifts and the whole thing to look after folks with this possible respiratory condition.
Wow. What about you, Athena? What do you think?
Well, I can speak from my sort of broader work on cooperation, and in particular, how people cooperate when they fosters food shortages, illness, injury. So we have a project called the Human Generosity Project, where we've looked at cooperation in small-scale societies around the world. And what we see with great regularity is that when people encounter things that are unpredictable, that people don't have a lot of control over, that you see a huge amount of spontaneous helping. And this is something that is across societies do this. When things are really bad, people step up. And I think that this is actually something that's a really important part of human nature, that we have this instinct to really get in there and help others when it really requires large scale helping and cooperation in order to effectively deal with it.
Yeah. Okay, but there's a flip side to this too, right? Because we also have seen, you know, people buying up all the Purell and all the toilet paper and all of the Clorox wipes and everything like that. Like, there is sort of a selfish instinct in people in situations like this too, is there not?
There certainly is. And I think that is one of the challenges now, is how do we sort of balance taking care of ourselves? There's actually a really important sort of compromise or middle ground. And this is something that we've seen looking at all these societies in the Human Generosity Project, is that it's actually really important to have a certain level of having your own needs taken care of and meet that, so that then you're in a position when you can help others. So it's kind of like this idea, you know, you put on your oxygen mask first, mm-hmm. before you help others. But I think we have to have a clear idea of what that means. You know, how can we have that security ourselves so that then we feel like we can help others without sort of being anxious about whether we have what we need to be able to take care of ourselves. So I think that there's a big challenge right now in sort of figuring out how to strike that correct balance.
You probably have heard about, there's a movement among people at the front lines of healthcare in this epidemic to get more PPE, and PPE stands for personal protective equipment, mm-hmm. things like masks and gowns and eyewear. And as you probably know, there's a critical shortage of that right now, which is a little bit shocking for me, someone who's been working in the front lines of emergency medicine for 20 years now, that we are confronted with this critical shortage. But if we don't feel safe, if we don't feel like we have the basic things that we need to keep ourselves safe, then it makes it much, much harder to be selfless and fearless in taking care of other people. We'll do it anyway, but it has definitely led to some difficulties.
So it sounds like both of you think that this is not necessarily selfishness. It's this balance of sort of taking care of yourself and those close to you, but also then using that kind of safety that you can feel to help others.
Yeah, and of course, there's the balance between looking after your community and looking after your family and your immediate loved ones. And I think that the instinct for a lot of folks right now is to make sure that we have, you know, enough supplies in the home to keep ourselves safe. And to keep our families safe. even when we look at advice from public health officials, we are being advised to make sure that we have at least the supplies for a few days so we don't need to go to the store every day, so we can participate in at least a little bit of physical distancing from other people. Mm-hmm. And that requires buying at least one or two extra rolls of toilet paper. And so, yeah, so the question is really, where do you draw the line? If we have 100 rolls, that's probably too much, but maybe having a few is okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the things which is leading to this issue of possible hoarding behavior that might look like it's selfish is that we just don't have clear instructions sometimes from our leaders and just from the world around us. Things are changing day to day, and the advice that we're getting is changing day to day, and that makes things quite uncertain.
Yeah. Is all of this, or a lot of this at least, driven by fear in either of your minds, like fear for your own safety, fear for our society's safety on sort of a personal and a broader level?
I think fear is a big part of it. It's very interesting. People are afraid to go to the emergency room right now. Mm-hmm. So we've actually seen the volume of people going to the ER for routine kinds of complaints like nausea or maybe a twisted ankle. Folks are afraid to go in because they think that they may be exposed to somebody with COVID-19 or coronavirus. So we see that certainly in our workplace. There's a lot of anxiety among the healthcare staff. We're worried about getting the illness. Mm-hmm. Many people have underlying health conditions. And so this is not just a, you know, theoretical idea that we might get sick. This is a very real possibility. And we're just not quite used to that, I think, when we go to work for anybody. And so, and of course, it's not just us healthcare workers. It's really everybody in society is facing this unprecedented new reality. And the amazing thing is that it's not even just national or regional. This is a global thing. Every human on the planet is facing this potential grave threat. And that's only natural that that would cause a lot of fear.
Yeah, I think, you know, especially when you see, you know, things like the runs on particular items like, you know, toilet paper, where, you know, it's not like you need toilet paper even to survive, right? And so a lot of that is like people are worried that other people are buying the toilet paper. And so there won't be any for them because other people are buying it, which just sort of feeds this desire in many people to get as much toilet paper as they can before other people get it all.
Right.
That kind of behavior is driven by fear. I think there is another side of it, though, which is I think some of it is driven by people looking at the situation and trying to kind of assess what the risks are and how they can try to keep themselves and their families better prepared. If we can be in the mindset of sort of thinking through it with a cool head instead of a hot head, that will lead us to behavior that makes more sense both for ourselves and for the broader good. Just if we kind of back up to like a all hazards kind of approach. So just thinking not just about the pandemic, but in general, you know, what should you be doing to be prepared? Ready.gov and many other agencies, you know, they recommend that you have what you need to shelter in place for 3 days for yourself and your family at all times, right? That should just be something that we all have, because then that puts much less demand on any top-down response that needs to happen, because they know that households can be okay for several days.
Yeah. So it's sort of about systems, having these systems in place to help one another, but also take care of ourselves.
Yeah. And, you know, there is a certain level on which if you're prepared to take care of yourself and your family, at least for a few days, that actually can make the whole system much more resilient and make it much more possible for a top down to deal with the acute problems that can arise, as opposed to having to worry about are millions of people in a city going to have water for 2 days.
Let me ask you both finally, you know, when you study this or when you've lived this, Joe, you know, give us a sense of the good that you have seen in people and the sort of ways in which when we are tested, we can come out the better for it.
Well, certainly in the medical community, I see a lot of signs of people helping each other. We have a group of my colleagues who have organized a whole system for childcare with the recognition now that kids are not going to school. That's something that I see, which is a wonderful outcome. I see a lot of other really promising signals. We get food deliveries from local restaurants and caterers every day. So I do feel supported by my community as a medical worker. And I guess the other thing, which I think is really promising and sort of amazing, is that a lot of our jobs as doctors is trying to encourage people to adopt healthy lifestyles and to change various things about their lives. Maybe that's giving up smoking. Maybe it's eating healthier. But we know that's extremely hard for people to change their lifestyles and change their behaviors. And here we've seen kind of on a massive scale, people changing their lifestyles and their behaviors over a period of a couple of weeks. And I just want to make that really is at some level a selfless thing to do. So just staying home and not going out, it doesn't seem like it's all that cooperative, but in fact, it's in this instance, it is the most cooperative thing that you can do. And I find it remarkable that people have in many aspects of our lives have done that because I'm well aware of how hard it is for people to change their lifestyles.
Yeah, well, I think there's a positive side to this in terms of us recognizing and realizing just how interdependent we all are, both, you know, in our families, in our communities, and nationally, globally. This pandemic has really made it clear just how much all of us are interdependent with one another. And I think that by really seeing that makes it easier for us to come together and work together. And even if that's just by staying home.
All right. That is Athena Aktipis and Dr. Joe Alcock. Thank you both so much for coming on the show to talk about this.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Athena Aktipis researches cooperation and conflict in biological systems. She's an assistant professor of psychology in the ASU Department of Psychology. And Dr. Joe Alcott is an emergency physician at the University of New Mexico Hospital who has been deployed on the New Mexico Disaster Medical Assistance Team.